Do not adjust your MP3 player. There is nothing wrong. We have taken control.
Omega oil is good for rheumatism, so they declare. And olive oil is good upon a salad, also on the hair. Though we know that castor oil always cures the pain, banana oil is something new. So just let me explain. When he tells you, I adore you, that's banana oil. And she answers, I'll die for you, that's banana oil. He says, when I buy the stone, what a handsome ring you'll own. But the only ring she gets is on the telephone.
You're the first boy ever kissed me.
That's banana oil. And I wonder if you miss me. More banana oil. He says, I'll do right by Nell. Mother thinks that's simply swell. But Dad is wise and he knows right well. That's banana oil. Now Standard Oil is always advertising, we know that so. They claim their oil is far more popular than any kind we know. But there is still another oil, seems to rank supreme. It's what we call banana oil. I'll tell you what I mean. When a girl says I'm just 20, that's banana oil. And if money Dad has plenty, that's banana oil. I wonder what's become of maids used to wear their hair in braids. When you took them dancing, ordered only lemonade.
Yes, my hair is naturally curly.
That's banana oil.
And I've got to be home early.
More banana oil. Who says girls hate new clothes to wear? Who says older men won't stare? And who says our moms don't bob their hair? That's banana oil.
Hello, this is Clyde J. Kale of Mystery Play Internet Radio, and welcome to this podcast. This series is what I call Banana Oil, just like the song states. We poke fun at life in general, politics, parody tunes, and some really old-time radio, silly adult theme shows.
Because I just love farming, more banana oil. Now here's one thing I'll tell you what. Big oil men I've met a lot, but the only oil those birds have got is just banana oil.
This podcast is part of the Blueberry Network. Find freshly picked podcasts just for you at blueberry.com. That's blueberry, no E's, .com.
You're listening to a presentation brought to you by Mystery Play Internet Radio.
Hi, this is Gene Simmons from Kiss. If you're looking for rock and roll, come to me. If you want to bitch, moan, and complain, see Ross or Tim. You're listening to Whinge of the Week.
I used to be such a sweet, sweet thing.
Hey, fatso, put down the donut. Stop binging. Start whinging. It's Whinge of the Week with Ross Hemsworth.
Hi, this is Ozzy Osbourne, and you're listening to Whinge of the Week. You know, when you live in a f***ing madhouse like mine, the whinging goes on 7 f***ing days a week, non-f***ing stop.
Do you know what? Some weeks when I do this show, I have never felt more like whinging than when I've switched the mic on to do Whinge of the Week. Believe me, this has been the week from hell. And my God, am I going to get on my hobby horse about it this evening. Tim, good evening.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm good, mate. What about you? How's your week been?
Man, it's starting to get wintry now. Getting a bit bunged up, so...
Yeah,
I've got like a winter cold coming up that's basically not going to destroy anything that's happening in my week, but it's going to make my weekend crap, and then I'll feel fine by Monday.
It's usually the other way around with me. I feel fine when it's the weekend, but I feel crap on Monday.
Oh, no, I wish. I wish it was.
Let me tell you what's been going on here, Tim. When you did your show on Tuesday, you hooked up no problem at all, didn't you, to the internet?
Correct.
Right, the reason for that was there was me one end pulling buttons, there was Dan in Chile pulling buttons, we changed all the server notices, we changed everything back to non-AAC+, and your show went on smoothly and went out on the internet. So there was lots of things going on behind the scenes. However, can I connect to the internet? Fine, no problem. Can I connect to the stream? Can I help? Apparently there's some server or something down in Ilford, which has caused a major UK problem and slowing down everyone's internet, but it means we can't reach our server. Now the funny thing is, Dan can, and other people can, but we can't, which means we can't stream from here at all at the moment, so I'm not even sure if this show is going to be going out tonight or not.
Oh, nice.
I know, it's dreadful, isn't it? And we've had a couple of days of this, and there's just been one problem after another, and we've had other radio stations who have been told that it isn't a server problem from Web Radio World or from NetTalk or whatever, and yet they said, oh, well, I'm going to go and get a different streaming company now, we're going somewhere else, you know, and it's unbelievable. It's not our fault. It's nothing to do with the servers.
Yeah.
Oh, it's unbelievable. So all I've had all week is complaints and people getting on my back about things, and I've had enough. You know, you have those weeks where you just want to go back to bed and say, sod the world.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Yeah, that's mine. Never mind, there we go. On a happier note, Tim, the weekend's coming, mate.
It is indeed.
Right, let's have a little look at the whinges, what we got this week. First one on mine, house hunting and crazy property prices. Now, when I moved to where I am now, Tim, the place is very rural, as you know. It's lovely, you can see horses and sheep outside and grazing, you know, the lovely rolling hills and whatever. But unfortunately, when we moved here, we weren't told the total truth about the broadband capability. And it keeps dropping out every few minutes, which is obviously no good for a radio station. And every time we get a thunderstorm, the whole power goes off. And 2 minutes before we went to air on Monday night with Kello's Bootlaces, we were sitting here in pitch darkness.
Nice.
So needless to say, we've decided we've got to move. We've got no choice. We've got to look for somewhere else. So we started looking around at some of the properties to rent across the southwest, which until recently has always been cheaper than most of the rest of the country. And I can't believe it. For the sort of property I want, I'm looking at between £800 and £1,000 a month.
Really?
Yeah, we can't afford that sort of money. It's crazy. Unbelievable. That's what they're asking for. And now landlords are getting greedy. They want like 3 months deposit up front and a month in advance of the rent. And, oh, you can't come here if you've got a cat. Oh, you can't come here if you smoke. Or, you know, it's just unbelievable. The rental business now, it's really gone to pot.
Yeah.
So that and the price of buying property. I mean, we looked at buying property, and unless we've got sort of 250 grand to spend, we're not even in the market, you know. It's unbelievable. They're looking at something like a 10% deposit, so 25 grand down. And I don't know how people can afford to live these days.
It's ridiculous.
So I'm looking in again to a possible move abroad. I'm looking at your old mates over there in the States, because there's a few places going there and a lot cheaper cost of living. So who knows? I might jump on a plane and run everything from out there.
Make sure you don't bring any liquids with you.
Exactly, yeah. I've got to be careful what I pack. Right, first one on yours tonight. Automated telephone systems.
This is something that always gets my goat. I really, really hate. I don't care where I call, be it for Cinema Times, you know, because they're clever now, these automated telephone systems. You don't have to press buttons every time. Sometimes you can just speak to it, and, you know, it'll do what you say. In theory.
In theory.
In theory. you know, if you breathe or, you know, your nose hair whistles or something like that, it'll say, "Pardon, I did not hear that." And, I think it's absolutely ridiculous, these automated telephone systems. I find it really impersonal. And it just makes me want to take my phone and throw it through the window.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't stand it, especially ones where I have to press buttons.
Mm.
Because as soon as I hear that I'm going to have to press any keys, I'm just pounding on zero, because hopefully that's going to take me to some sort of switchboard and a real person.
Yeah, I do that too.
If companies think that they are being efficient, by putting in an automated telephone system, no, you're just pissing me off, so stop it.
Do you know what I hate about them, Tim, more than anything?
What's that?
A lot of them are on these 0871 or 0890 numbers, which you're paying a national rate for in the first place. And in the old days, you just used to have the phone ringing until somebody answered it, which meant you hadn't incurred a charge. But these things, they answer immediately. And then you go on to a holding system, which is running you up a huge phone bill, only then to get a computerized voice telling you that nobody's available.
Yeah, exactly. Call back later, and that hangs up on you.
Exactly. And I'll tell you what, everybody's going to have these systems soon. So you'll be ringing up your doctor, and it'll be press 1 for a broken leg, press 2 for a sore throat, press 3 if you have a sexual disease.
Well, what are you going to be pressing 3 with?
Well, this is true. There's the yes, this is what's the old joke about a dictaphone?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, that's the one. So, yeah, I agree with you. I mean, automated telephone systems, we should send them all to hell and watch them burn.
If hell existed.
Well, yeah, this is true. Accountants.
Right.
Yes. Now, I've never been a great fan of accountants, I have to say. Accountants are people that, for me, I find working in a very boring trade, have a very, very set view of things and how things should be done. Now, I have an accountant that's been working for me, and I use the term working loosely, because they've been on the job now for about 3 months, and so far I haven't actually seen anything happen. But I'm sure it is. But I just have this thing about accountants. They charge you huge amounts of money and seem to do very little, don't they?
Exactly, and you look at them, and they're always the people that you know that when they were in public school, they had their lunch money taken from them every day.
Yeah, that's the ones that were the gophers and the gimps.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly right. But it takes a special sort of person to go into that trade, doesn't it, really?
Oh, most definitely, yeah.
So I just have this thing, I just thought I'd have a whinge about accountants. And any listeners listening, have you ever had problems with accountants, or do you just dislike your accountant, or do you have a really bubbly one who's fun? Because I've not met one of them yet, a fun, party-going accountant. Have you ever seen one of them, Tim?
Wow.
It would be different, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, you'd imagine, couldn't you? I don't know. Unbelievable. Anyway, that's me, accountants. Your next one tonight, my bank, which has got to be in line with accountants, really, I suppose.
It does. I guess I should have expanded more and say, you know, the pedanticness of my bank. I had a check that went NSF recently. But I don't mind, you know, it was my fault because I didn't realize everything that was coming out and I didn't take care of the problem in advance. So, yes, it's my fault. And if the check had just gone NSF, that would have been fine. I could have dealt with that, and I would have accepted that. But no, what happened? They actually took the full amount out of my account, so it looked on my balance for one day as if they were going to clear the check. So the person whose check wasn't going to clear, who I called and said, "Look, I think this check isn't going to clear." I was then calling them up saying, "You know what? I've just checked my balance. They cleared it. I'm sorry about causing any worry or whatever. I just wanted to be cautious here." And so they were thanking me. Then a few days later, I get a letter from my bank saying that I don't have money in my account to cover this check, and I need to deposit it immediately. Well, that was the whole problem, is I didn't have the money. And so what did they do? They bounced the check. So they stuck the money in the other person's account, and they went, "Oh, you don't have the money? Okay, let's take it back out." So, if you're going to bounce a check, you know, do it straight away. Don't say, "Okay, here's your money. Oh, no, let me have it back now."
They're unbelievable banks. I mean, I've always hated banks. I've never had any time for them at all, because when you've got like $100,000 in your accounts, they're fine. They're all over you. They can't do enough for you, and they want to lend you money. Well, of course, you don't want to borrow money at that point. But when you're down to sort of £2.60, they're all over you like a bloody rash for the other reason, you know. And let's face it, most people in this country at some point or other, well, not just this country, anywhere in the world, go overdrawn from time to time. And it doesn't make them the slum of the earth, does it?
No, exactly.
Or should I say the scum of the earth? You know, the way that they're treated by banks, I think, is bloody disgraceful.
But, I say that maybe I should keep everything in a shoebox now.
Yeah, maybe right. Perhaps the old people have got it right. The shoebox under the bed.
Yep.
Well, it doesn't earn as much interest, though.
No, you're right.
Do you know, the best way, Tim, is premium bonds, mate, because you get your money back, I think you do get interest on them, and you can win a £1 million prize as well.
Really?
Yeah, premium bonds, mate, go for it. That's the best way.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, go for it. Now, I'm just going to add a whinge to that, if I can, because I went through a problem a couple of years ago after my divorce, where I hit a sort of financial rock bottom. I was fairly well off, had a lot of money in the bank, big house, and the family courts gave it all to the ex, and I came away with nothing. Now, because of that, my credit rating was affected, and now I have all sorts of problems when I go to a bank, because despite the fact of being nigh on a millionaire at one point, because of that particular blimp in the record, which was nothing to do with me or not my fault, yeah. I have this black rating on my credit. So even though I now run a business and I've got money and everything's going okay, there's still this problem with opening bank accounts. Now, well, what is it with banks, that, you know, these references, where one little blimp, they haven't got a human who looks at it and says, oh, well, it's a blimp, but it wasn't his fault. It's just a computer that says, no. Computer says, no.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's just unbelievable. I hate banks, I really do. So I'm glad you put that on the whinge list tonight.
No, it is absolutely ridiculous. And, there was a time when, if the computer said no, they actually had a person say, okay, well, actually, why is it saying no? Maybe I will override this. But that doesn't happen anymore.
No, that's right. Again, it's because we're not dealing with humans. It goes back to like the automated telephone systems, Tim, because we're not actually dealing with a human, someone that can make the decision and sort things out. We're dealing with automated systems all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, banks send out these letters, letter one, letter two, letter three. These things come out automatically, a bit like your council tax reminders. So even if you've paid it, if the computer can't see the payment on screen, it's you're going to court, pal.
Yeah, no, exactly.
It's ridiculous. Anyway, next one on my list, people who spend all their time attacking others, like the council tax and the banks. I don't know why it is, Tim, but some people just seem to spend their life causing other people problems. They go into forums, they're posting nasty things about people, they're attacking people all the time, they're bitching behind people's backs. What is it about the negativity in these people that causes them to spend all of their days and nights doing nothing but attacking other people? Have you come across that?
Oh, yeah, no, exactly. Quite a few times.
And it's just unreal. You know, these people just seem to have nothing better to do, you know? My message for all of these people that spend their time attacking others is get a life.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that.
Yeah, and I mean, there's so many of them. I go into forums sometimes, and I'm promoting NetTalk Radio, and I get these people coming in and just attacking me for self-promotion. Well, hey, how am I supposed to get listeners for my program if I don't promote the damn thing? What are you, mad? You know, I'm doing this because that's what you do.
Yeah, exactly.
And I get all these people attacking because of it. And it's not just me, they attack everybody. You know, somebody comes in there and says something like, oh, I'm having problems at the moment, my wife's cheating on me or whatever, and they start attacking him as if it's his fault.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, oh, it's crazy. I just don't believe it, and there are so many people like that. Now, I've found, since I've been on MySpace, I've been putting out these appeals for people to vote for my MySpace profile blog, which you may have seen, and so far I've come up from about 400 and something in the voting, up to 125, so it's working. And so far I've not had one person criticise me for that on MySpace. They've all been saying, yeah, you know, we'll vote for you. And I've put postings in a few forums, and people have been voting for me, and, you know, I think that's nice. But certain forums, you post something like that, you just know you're going to get blistered.
Oh, yeah, no, exactly.
Yeah, so I hate it. People who spend their time attacking others, get a life. Your next one tonight, London's poor excuse for pizza.
Yeah, it doesn't exist here. New York has great pizza, Toronto has great pizza, you know, most American and Canadian cities, Italy has great pizza. Why can't London make a decent pizza anywhere? It's not available. You would think in a city of 10 million people, I could get a decent pizza somewhere. No, never, ever. the chains, the Domino's and the Pizza Hut don't taste the same. They're doing something wrong here. I think there is some sort of black cloud over London as far as pizza making goes. It doesn't exist.
So you're short of a good pizza then, Tim?
I totally am. People in London who never had pizza anywhere else, they probably think that the pizza here is wonderful. It's not. It's horrible. It's like cardboard with some veg and meat on top of it with some rubber they're calling cheese.
Yeah, I agree. Do you know the only time I really enjoy pizza, Tim?
What is that?
When I've had a gut full of booze and it doesn't make any difference what you eat.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing with pizza, though, is if it's done correctly, you don't need booze to hide the horrible taste of it.
That's right. It's sort of in the same league as kebabs, isn't it? You never go and buy a doner kebab when you're sober, do you?
No, never.
And yet when you've had a few beers, they're great, aren't they?
Yeah. It's manna from the gods.
Exactly. It's weird. And that will bring me nicely into my very last whinge later on in the programme, but we'll come back to that in a bit. We're going to take a short break, Tim,
right,
and give them a chance to go and fill their cups up or whatever they need to do. We'll be back right after this.
You're listening to Ross Hemsworth, yes, on NetTalk UK.
We'll be back with more whinging and bitching in just a minute. You're listening to Whinge of the Week with Ross Hemsworth.
Advantage Business Angels specialize in finding investment for early stage business opportunities. Individual entrepreneurs, young growing companies, or restarts of older businesses based on new ideas. Investment is secured from different sources depending on the circumstances of each business. We have a network of business angels who operate individually or in syndicates. And we also source finance from venture capitalists, banks, specialist lenders, and grant providers. To find out more, visit our website today at www.advantagebusinessangels.com.
Could you present a show on NetTalk Radio? If you think you can talk without music for an hour each week, remain interesting and have a great personality, then send your idea for a show to ross@nettalkradio.co.uk. Experience isn't as important as a good voice and a great personality. You can make your show at home on your PC in MP3 format. These are voluntary positions that give you the chance to talk to the world on the UK's fastest growing internet-based talk radio station.
Hi, this is Ozzy Osbourne, and you're listening to Whinge of the Week. You know, when you live in a f***ing madhouse like mine, the whinging goes on 7 f***ing days a week, non f***ing stop.
Yes, welcome back. This is Whinge of the Week. You're listening to me, Ross Hemsworth, and me old mate Tim Locke, and we're having a damn good whinge, as we always do on a Thursday night at this time. And if you want to whinge, you can send yours in to me now, studio@nettalkradio.co.uk. That's studio@nettalkradio.co.uk. Now, the next one on the list tonight is whinges from our punters, our listeners, Tim.
Right.
Now, I've got a good one here, and I'm trying to find the damn thing now, because you might know what I've done is I've filed it away in a file somewhere, so can I find it? Can I, hell? It's here somewhere. Bear with me a minute. Dearie me. Our listener whinges, here we go. Right. This is from Sarah, S-A-R-A, and she's from the Midlands somewhere, I believe. She said, Ross, my whinge is still about driving. Oh, right, yes, she wrote about driving once before, you may remember.
Yes.
And she says, but with a slight difference this time, and very topical. We're all aware of the Muslim Yashmak issue at the moment, and how many people are finding it offensive. Well, how about, it's just downright dangerous. Yesterday, as I was driving in my modest Peugeot, squeezing down a narrow lane at peak traffic time, a Muslim woman in a very big, imposing 4x4 decided she would be lazy and not move over the spare 3 foot she had on her side to allow me through, insisting that I reverse back into the traffic queuing up behind me. I was incensed at the selfishness, insisted she move over and stop being stupid. In short, she wasn't making driving sense. Eventually, she did, as she should, but with great difficulty. She clearly couldn't drive the vehicle she was in control of properly, but she was also wearing glasses and a full yashmak, and she was having to adjust it to see where she was going. I find this unbelievable. She just didn't want to inconvenience herself by having to move her head too much to see appropriately and see the car into a better driving position, because she was wrapped up in so many robes. If ever there was a reason for these items of clothing being restricted, then driving is one of them. As I drove away, disgusted by her behaviour, the policewoman further up watching all the commotion could see very well what was happening and shook her head to me as if to say, what is this country coming to? By the way, I'm not racist. I'm white, I'm British, I'm a mixed-race family, in case anyone thinks this is a race issue. The world isn't going mad, it has gone mad.
No, I totally agree with that.
Yeah, 100%. Well done, Sarah, and well said, or Sarah. It's one of these things, isn't it? And I've had this issue on the programme Southwest Today quite a bit just lately, Tim. And I find that that it's not racism that's causing the racial tension in this country now. It's the fact of the culture not blending in together. They're not trying to blend into our culture. And issues like this are not helping, are they?
No, of course not.
That's crazy. I've got another whinge here. It's just a short one. This is from John in Exeter. And he said, I just want to have a quick whinge with you guys tonight, if I may, about laptops. Why is it nobody can make a laptop that works for more than a couple of hours without the battery dying? With all the technology we have these days, surely it must be possible to have a laptop that works for more than 2 or 3 hours.
Ah, I've got an answer for that.
Go on.
It's not the companies that make the laptops. It's the companies that make the batteries, which is actually usually separate. Sony is a company that had a lot of recall on their laptop batteries because they make batteries for PCs, for Apples, etc.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that keeps them in business. When you first get a laptop, you will probably notice that the battery will stay charged over a good 6, 7, 8 hours. Then after about 6 months, it starts dropping. You know, then it stays charged for 4 hours. Then after a year, it only stays charged for 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And there are actually only so many charges that you can charge a laptop battery with. Do you think it's possible the technology is there that they could invent something that you could charge again and again and again? Yes, of course it does. But is that good for business for the companies that make the batteries? No, it's not. So it's big business trying to screw you in a subtle way, but guess what? You found them out.
Yeah, it's true enough. And I bought a laptop from Dell recently through my supplier, and I'd only had it about 2 months, and I got a recall notice for the battery because apparently they explode.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, great, the incredible exploding laptop battery. I thought, if anyone's going to explode, it's bound to be mine, isn't it?
It's unbelievable. I've seen footage of them spontaneously combust.
Oh, this is a new one for now. That's weird, isn't it? Instantaneous laptop explosion.
Yeah, it's a plot by the Beavians.
That's right, yeah.
Bobby Martin can come on and tell you why it happened.
Exactly. Either that or it's made in Afghanistan.
Yeah, yeah.
By Taliban workers. God, dearie me. Right, next one on your list tonight, crap ringtones.
I'm talking about mobile phone ringtones. There's another thing that's big business as well. But I have maybe a little song or something. Or just ring ring, but not the old telephone ring. That drives me nuts. But these people with the goddamn crazy frog, or they've got a celebrity impression on there, like, you know, Lou and Andy from Little Britain. Oh, look, phones. You know, what's going on with that? It's a friggin' telephone. You know, no one is going to be really impressed by your ringtone. As a matter of fact, it's just going to annoy people. So try to have something that doesn't stick out too much. It does my nut in.
So what's your ringtone on your phone, Tim?
Mine is one of the standard ones that comes with the Motorola one. It's this gospel song or what have you. It's not annoying or anything like that. But I hate it. And I hate people who put a song that's in the charts as their ringtone.
Yeah, me too. I do as well. Although I'm slightly guilty of that because my phone at the moment has David Bowie's Rebel Rebel guitar riff on it.
Oh, that's all right. I approve of that.
Well, the only reason I did that is, A, I love that guitar riff. I think it's one of the best guitar riffs ever. And secondly, when my phone rings, at least I know it's mine. Because when you've got the same ring as everybody else, have you ever noticed on a train where 15 people all get their phone out at the same time because they think it's theirs?
Yeah, exactly. you have to be a little diverse, but, you know, don't annoy me.
And you remember the guy that used to do the show on Channel 4, Dom Jolly?
Yes.
Yeah. Every time I hear that ringtone now, that da 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 da, I get this urge to shout out, I'm on the train!
Yeah.
And so many people have that damn ringtone as well, don't they?
Yeah, exactly.
But you're right what you say on ringtones. I mean, the Crazy Frog one gets me. Every time I hear somebody with a Crazy Frog ringtone, I get the urge to snap it out of their hand, throw it to the floor, and tread on it heavily.
Oh, no, exactly.
It's a crap ringtone.
But I actually saw a clip of, you know, the bear, the character that used to be on Bo Selecta, and then they did the Bear's Tale.
Oh, yes.
Computer-generated thing of the... of the bear walking onto a green screen stage with a gun. You hear, all of a sudden you hear in the background, bing, 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 and then he blows the Crazy Frog away.
Excellent.
And Crazy Frog gut spray everywhere. It's still making some money, so he shoots it another couple of times in the head and walks away.
Now that brings me on to a nice bit of promo for your show, doesn't it?
Yeah, yes, exactly. The wonderful Lee Francis will be on the November 14th. Episode of the G-Spot.
Now, I loved your email when you told me about this, because you said you might have to go out and buy yourself an orthopedic neck brace.
Yeah, I think I might do that for the when we take some photos out there.
Now, is he coming to the studio, or are you interviewing him in London? How's that working?
We're doing it at Soho House.
Fantastic. Oh, I look forward to that one, Tim.
But the agent was actually quite funny when she arranged everything. Then she sent me a note afterwards. She's like, oh, she goes, I'm sorry, I forgot to ask. Is he going to be Lee or is he going to be Avid Marion?
Bit of both, huh?
Yeah.
No, I'm looking forward to that. But I love that little bear in Bo Selecta. You know, he has a couple of his own pop-ups, doesn't he?
Oh, of course, yes.
Always fun. And I loved it. I think he was interviewing the girls from Atomic Kitten on one of the shows. And it was just so funny because they really did look quite embarrassed.
Oh, yeah, when the little penis comes out, yeah.
Exactly, yeah, great fun. But that's a great show, Bo Selecta. I love that. And, yeah, there you go. Right, if any of my listeners, actually, just going back to Lingtones.
Ah, yeah, that's what they call them in China.
Ah, this is the Chinese version. Ah, Lingtones. If you have a Lingtone problem, you email me now, studio@nettalkradio.co.uk. Is that racist, Tim, do you reckon?
I tell you, ginseng, you'll be fine.
Yeah, if you've got problems with a ringtone, if there's a particular ringtone that you hate, email me now, studio@nettalkradio.co.uk. I'd like to know which ones are the most hated ringtones in the world. Let's do a survey, Tim, see if we can find out, shall we?
Exactly.
Good. Right, is the grass really greener on the other side of the pond? Now, here's a question for you, Tim. You're a Canadian. Canadians not great lovers of the Americans, I believe.
Not really, no.
There's not a lot of love lost there between the two countries, is there?
No.
Now, this happens, doesn't it? Because England and Scotland is the same. Holland and Germany are the same. What is it about countries that rub each other up the wrong way?
I don't know. Well, the Americans are stupid. So there, I can tell you that much. The Scottish, I don't know, maybe it's because they all sound like Billy Connolly. You can only take so much Billy Connolly.
Well, this is true.
But, no, I don't really know the reason for it.
It just seems that countries that are next door to each other for some reason, because we have the same problem with the Welsh as well. The Welsh don't like us greatly. If you go on holiday to Wales and you walk into a pub full of Welshmen, it all goes quiet whilst they all think of ways they can upset you. Either that or they're dreaming about their sheep, but I'm not sure that's right.
Yeah, learn a Welsh accent and try and breathe and blend in.
Yeah, I can't do the Welsh accent. I just, you know, I don't know, it's just something about the Wales, isn't it?
That's right.
It always comes out standing Pakistani when I do it.
Oh, yeah, that'll really make friends in a Welsh bar, won't it?
Oh, isn't it? Yes, please.
I have an onion bargee and Walker's crisp. Thank you very much.
Isn't it? Oh, dearie me. I love that advert for pot noodles, by the way, just talking about the Welsh.
I haven't seen it.
Oh, yeah, it's pot noodles. They take the piss out of the Welsh miners, and basically they're mining for pot noodles in the valleys of Wales.
Wonderful. Do they find any?
Oh, they do, yes, with the help of a sheep. It's a real tongue-in-cheek poke at the Welsh, it really is. Apparently the Welsh absolutely hate it because they say it's having a go at their mining heritage, but somebody in an advertising agency somewhere deserves an award for that one.
Yeah, so in other words, it's not going on the Welsh TV stations, is it?
Oh, exactly. Right, let's get back to this thing. Is it really greener on the other side? Now, I've been thinking for some time about moving to America, as you know, Tim.
Yeah.
I've looked into it several times in the past. A lot of the problems that have stopped me going have purely been visa and the time it takes to get the visas sorted out. If you set your own business up, you have to put a lot of money into the country. If somebody employs you, they have to show that they've... advertise for somebody locally and can't find someone with the same skills. So it's very, very difficult to actually get in, although For a media person, it's actually easier than for most, apparently. But I've been thinking for some time about this. Now, all of a sudden, in the space of the last few weeks, I've had a job offer for a radio station in Florida that want me to run NetTalk Radio from there, but also do a nightly show on their station. Which would take, now that's weird, live 5 nights a week, which is what my syndicate company wants out there in Chicago. Now, this station's in Orlando. At the same time, a friend of mine has a four-bedroom house in Orlando, which she wants to rent long-term. And she said to me, well, you can have the house cheap and live there. So all of a sudden, everything's pointing me towards going to Orlando. But I keep asking the same question. Is the grass really greener on the other side of the pond? What do you reckon?
Well, I can actually help you with this one, because I lived in Orlando for 3.5 years. Orlando is fine, except when people from out of town come to visit you. I'll tell you why. Because what happens every time is like, you're like, well, what would you like to do while you're here? And inevitably, the first thing out of their mouth is, let's go to Disney.
Yep.
I've been to the goddamn Magic Kingdom 57 times. and inside the Magic Kingdom, Epcot Center and the other parks, it's fine. But the Magic Kingdom itself, they don't sell alcohol.
Ah, it's dreadful.
It's Emily Wonderland. So what I used to do is I would get the little airline bottles and put them in my rucksack, because they don't check you when you go in. They probably do now because of terrorism. I would be clinking along with a bunch of Jack Daniels and vodkas and gins, and I would go order like a large Coca-Cola and go into the toilet and stick a couple of Jack Daniels in there. And after a few of those cocktails, then I was able to deal with It's a Small World after all. But the thing about Orlando, Florida that you notice is that the Walt Disney Corporation keeps, I would say, about a 5 to 10 mile ring around the parks clean. And what I mean there is they move homeless people out, and they will not let them in. The police in Orlando have, edicts that there's a certain border around the park that you don't see homeless people, you don't see crack whores, you don't see anything. And when you get past that, it's like you've moved onto another planet.
Yeah, well, this is a bit like L.A., isn't it? Certain parts of it fine, other parts don't go there.
Yeah.
And apparently there's been a crime increase of something like 338% in the last 2 years in Orlando.
Oh, I know, I can believe it, yeah.
Yeah, so again, it's right parts. But this particular house is on a gated estate. It's got a hot tub. It backs out onto a lake. Apparently, really, really, really nice place.
I know where that would be, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, I mean, those sort of places, I mean, just lovely, lovely places to live. And all right, you've got the odd hurricane that zooms through or whatever, but, you know, at least the broadband works.
Yeah, I've been through about 3 hurricanes.
Yeah. Well, you can survive them things if you know what to do, don't you? I mean, the old wooden houses are always a bit of a problem, but these days they're actually starting to learn to use bricks out there, apparently.
Yeah, I think I slept through all the hurricanes.
Yeah, there you go. Well, in fact, it was probably your snoring, mate. People thought it was a hurricane.
It could very well be.
I don't know. So anyway, yes, listen, there's another question for you. What do you reckon? Should I live in the States or should I live here? Or perhaps I should even go to New Zealand or Australia or somewhere, I don't know. I'm just fed up with this country, Tim. I'm fed up with the high taxes. I'm fed up with the high petrol costs. I'm fed up with being screwed to death by our government. I'm fed up with the police nanny state that they're bringing in here. I'm fed up with being watched everywhere I go by CCTV cameras. And I'm fed up with getting caught by speed cameras.
There it is.
Yeah, in a nutshell, last one out of Britain, please turn the lights off. Right, your next one tonight, middle age spread, something I'm quite an expert on, Tim.
Yeah, and I complain about this because I've got a bit of a tire that's happening. Although I'm being a bit unfair in complaining about it. Why? Because I'm not doing anything about it. I just want to complain about it.
Let's face it, Tim.
Because it hasn't been there before. Although I am not getting my ass to the gym and running on a treadmill or jogging, in and around Hyde Park. Which will do it, and if I cut out the KFC.
Exactly. I was just going to say that. With your lifestyle and what you love eating, like buckets of Kentucky Fried Chicken, you've got to expect a little tire here and there.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I know how to get rid of it. I wish I didn't have to. I wish I didn't have to go to such extremes to get rid of this. But maybe I'll complain about it for another year or so and then actually do something about it. But I'm not ready to yet, but I just want to complain about it. I don't like it, or maybe I've got liposuction. Maybe I'll do that.
Yeah, that's an easy way out. I must admit, as I got older, I found that all the little bellies that were appearing here, there, and everywhere were coming off easily, and much easier and much easier and much easier. And then all of a sudden, you get to a point of sort of 25, 30, and they don't come off anymore. Doesn't matter what you do, how much exercise you do, they just stay there, and they look at you as much as say, "You want to bet?"
Oh, shut up! I don't want to hear that.
Well, here I am at the ripe old age of 49, and I've given up now. I just increase my belly by the use of beer.
Nice.
It works. It keeps it nice and rounded, and as they say, it's a fuel tank for a love machine.
Wonderful. Fuel tank for a lump of shit?
No, a love machine.
Oh, a love machine. I thought you said a lump of shit.
You could be right. There's plenty of that here as well.
Right.
Let's take another break. It's myself and Tim Week, whinging for our country as usual, or countries, should I say, and we'll be back right after this.
You're listening to Net Talk Radio. Net Talk Radio. Talk Radio for the internet generation.
Old Misery Guts will be right back. It's Whinge of the Week with Ross Hemsworth.
And you're listening to Whinge of the Week. You know, when you live in a f***ing madhouse like mine, the whinging goes on 7 f***ing days a week.
Oh, I love Mark Bolan. Oh, I did anyway. I called out to him. I said, "Mark, watch that tree." He said, "What tree, man?" Yeah. He's just crashed his car into a tree.
Oh, again?
Yeah. Unbelievable, isn't it? There you go. You tell the bloke, "Watch that tree, Mark." He says, "What tree, man?"
Oh, wow.
I don't know. Some pop stars, you can't tell them, can you?
You can't.
Yeah. Anyway, I should get a few complaints of that one, no doubt, from the T-Rex fans. But hey, how many of them listen to my show?
Yeah.
Right, let's have a look. What's next? Lorry drivers who keep changing lanes without a warning.
Yeah, well, they're bigger than you remember.
Well, yeah. But, see, I hold an HGV1. I learned how to be a lorry driver because I just fancied being able to drive everything on the road, Tim. So I took a PSV for buses and coaches. I took an HGV1. I just wanted to be able to say that I'd driven everything on the road. So I have a knowledge of what it's like to drive one of these things. Now, you get up to 56 mile an hour, which is your maximum, and it takes you quite a long time to get there, and you may have to go through about a dozen gears to get there. So you don't particularly want to slow down. So when you come up to another lorry, and both of you are travelling at roughly the same speed, you know it's going to be a half an hour manoeuvre getting round them. So what you do is you look in your wing mirror, and you see whether the outside lane is clear. If it is, then you indicate and start to move, because you know that any cars in the middle lane can then have the option to move out to the outside lane. So you understand that so far, yeah?
Yes, I do.
Right. Any lorry driver that does that, I have no problem with, because I've got somewhere to move to. I can move out to the outside lane and let them out. And I usually do so and flash my lights to give them a signal to come out, all is clear. However, there are then the other type of lorries who are bored drivers who have got nothing to do but play car bashing. And what they do is they look in their mirror, and sometimes they don't even bother doing that. They see the outside lane is full, so there's nowhere to move, but they still pull out, which causes you to anchor your brakes on and nearly have an accident. These people are called arseholes.
Right.
And because they have this big 40-foot trailer behind them, they think nobody's going to argue with them.
Well, of course, I agree. I'm not going to argue with them.
No, exactly. But the amount of times, just lately, lorry drivers have done that to me, and I'm getting pissed off with it. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to start carrying explosive in my car, and every time a lorry driver does that to me, I'm going to throw a hand grenade.
Uh-huh.
I think that'd sort them out, don't you?
That'll definitely do it.
Yeah, that would do it.
It's maybe better if you're doing it in Beirut, though.
Oh, yeah, possibly. Now, I'm just carrying out a test here, Tim. What I've done is I've used the word explosion, I've used the word Taliban earlier in the program, and I've used the word grenade. Now, if the rumours are right and the conspiracy theorists have it right, this program will now be intercepted by MI6 and I will get a visit.
Will you?
Apparently.
Fantastic.
So we shall keep you monitored on that. We'll let them know next week if I've been arrested.
Good, good.
Or investigated. You know, I went through a period, Tim, where when I was doing Now That's Weird,
yeah,
I had the government visiting my website on a regular basis, and stuff was being downloaded by the American government and American military from the website.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it just goes to show you can be watched.
Oh, no, you just have got fans everywhere.
Well, this is true.
Yeah.
Yes, there you go. Shouldn't be such a popular guy. Right, next one on yours. Broadcast companies who don't live up to their mission statement.
Yes. I'm going through a pickle with a big company right now. Oh, well, we'll name them. Four.
Four Radio.
Yes, Channel 4 itself. Let me go through this here. And I quote, at Channel 4, our mission is to do it first, inspire change, make trouble. We are independent, highly innovative, and individual, and we never shy away from taking a risk to break new ground. This commitment to innovation has created truly distinctive TV. We intend to do the same in radio. We are going to create the next generation of radio, and there's never been a better time to do it. That's why we've launched 4 Radio. We're going to create new ways of connecting people through listening. Our programs will initially be accessible via downloads, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Let's see what else. We're going to introduce you to a new generation of radio shows and presenters. We'll feature some talent you know and some you don't. More than anything, we will offer something different, something challenging, something new. Well, going through all of Channel 4 Radio's output at the moment, most of it is radio versions of their current TV shows. Nothing challenging and nothing controversial. Which is why the G-Spot is not on Channel 4 Radio at the moment, because they want to get a license.
Mm-hmm.
Although, you know, I whinge and I bitch about that, as it's taken so long to get an answer from them. But now what they want me to do is they want me to develop a sitcom for them. Because their comedy output on Channel 4 Radio is, well, unfortunately, not funny. You know, it's sort of missing the mark there. And the last time I checked, if you're going to do comedy, it should be funny.
Well, it seems to be sort of part of it, really, doesn't it?
Yeah. It's part and parcel. So we're going to come up with a couple of concepts to sell to them. If they like it, then we will produce a pilot. But I guess You know, I think Four is looking a little silly now, you know, being the bad boys of broadcasting, but playing it a little safe with Four Radio because they haven't been granted their multiplex license yet.
Yeah, this is always the thing with license. This is why I love internet radio, Tim, because we don't have to worry about those restrictions, do we?
Yeah, no, exactly. But my whole thing is, you know, if they want a sitcom that plays it safe, I can write a funny sitcom that plays it safe and is funny.
Yeah.
And then, once they have commissioned me for that, then I can like go to the heads of Four and go, you know, don't be such a dick. Don't be an idiot. Here, you need to carry this as well.
Yeah, exactly right. I think what will happen eventually is that the license restrictions will be, well, I mean, they're going to have to be eased, aren't they? Because the competition from online radio now is going to push them out of business if they don't.
Yeah, well, you know, everything is going multi-platform now. You can't focus on just one platform.
No, exactly right, exactly right. I agree. Talking about comedy, though, I heard a great little skit the other day from one of the Edinburgh comedians, the Edinburgh Festival comedians, and I don't know if you heard this, but it was just a sort of two lines from the middle of a set, and I'll just tell you very quickly, and for any of my listeners that didn't hear it, he said, "Women are supposed to be the weaker sex, right?"
Yes.
Yeah. Have you ever tried getting the quilt off one of them in the middle of the night? Only 2 hours before, she couldn't get the lid off the pickle jar.
Right.
That just killed me. I thought that is just so true.
It was then hermetically sealed to her body, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly right. Unbelievable. But yeah, Channel 4 Radio, watch this space on that one, eh, Tim?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And I'll be interested to see what you do on this comedy show, because I heard your Christmas play last year, which had me in stitches, and I believe you've got another one planned for this year.
Yeah, it's going to be the G-Spot Nativity this year.
Oh, fantastic.
Yes.
Oh, my God. I'm looking forward to that with, what's the word? Tell me what the word is, Tim.
In breath?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Right, on to the next Whinge tonight, and it is ITV for Keep Changing the Scheduled Time of Afterlife. Now, I don't know if you've ever watched this, Tim.
No.
It's on a Saturday night, and it's on normally at around 9 o'clock.
Right.
But because of that damn crap they call the X Factor...
Love it! Yeah.
They keep moving the bloody thing. And if you're setting up a video to actually record this thing every week, you know, it's a pain in the ass because you have to keep checking the time to make sure you got the time right for it. 1 week they took it off altogether because of the boxing, because Joe Calzacchi was beating the shit out of somebody and they thought that was more entertaining. Then they moved it to 9:40 because of the X Factor second part. Last week it was 9:15. I haven't got a clue when it is this week, but ITV, get your bloody shit into gear. Afterlife's a great programme. It has lots and lots of viewers. Please keep it in the same damn time slot.
But yeah, you gotta love that X Factor.
Yeah, I don't know. That's the trouble. How much more are they going to squeeze out of those poor buggers? You know, they humiliate these people. And year after year, thousands of people still queue up to be on it. Do we like being humiliated as a race or something, Tim?
I love watching people being humiliated.
I know, but people queue up to be humiliated. It's a bit like these people that go on Jerry Springer, you know. Some guy turns around and says, look, I like having sex with Alsatians. And instead of going to a counsellor, he goes on national television and tells the world.
Jerry Springer in America right now is on Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah. I haven't had a chance to see any clips of that, but apparently he's horrible.
I just can't believe, though, that anybody wants to go on TV and be humiliated, but it seems that thousands of people do.
Yeah.
That's unreal. I don't get it. Oh, well, your last one for this evening, European employment legislations.
Yeah, we got another one through in October. And do you know which one came through in October?
Nope.
Anti-age discrimination.
Oh, yes, yes, I do. Yes, that's right.
Yeah, now, let me briefly explain how this works. You can't discriminate on the basis of age, experience, etc. You can't have junior and senior positions named that,
mm-hmm.
because that's code word for age. You cannot advertise for a dynamic, vibrant team,
mm-hmm.
code for young. You can't advertise for, I don't know, what would be a stable, well-grounded team, because then you're maybe thinking that you want older people to work there.
Mm-hmm.
And you can no longer ask for a certain amount of experience.
Mm.
You can't say, for this position we are looking for someone with 5 years past experience. Because the European legislators say that shouldn't matter. It should be someone's skills and not their experience. You know, I can see where they're coming from on this, but, you know, my God, all these legislations that come through, you know, in 5 years' time, if you want to work for a company, you're not going to have to go see a human resources department. Just show up and sit down at the desk. And then, so, like, the office manager or something will walk along and go, excuse me, who are you? And I just know, I'm working here now. Really? As of when? Well, I came in this morning. I like this company. I've decided I'm going to work here. I guess you better give me your details so that we can pay you.
Yeah, you see, he won't be able to say, who are you, because that would be whoist.
Oh, yeah, exactly. The whoist legislation is coming in next month, which also means that you can't exclusively play Pete Townsend tracks over your on-hold music, either.
The thing is, though, Tim, I mean, we're joking about this, but it really could come to this with the way these idiots are bringing out these roles.
Oh, yeah, well, no, a friend of mine is an HR director, and I said to her, I said, Claire, I said, you're not going to have a job in 4 years, because there's going to be no need for you. I said, because you're not going to be able to recruit, in any plausible way.
No, exactly. It's just craziness. It really is. And I don't understand how they get away with it. And I think I told you, actually, that a while ago, that there is a department in the EEC which does nothing but come up with these rules. That's what they're there for.
Yeah. They're justifying they're like publicists justifying their jobs.
Yeah, exactly. It's just craziness. It really is. And I don't know, you know, I mean, the other day they actually released this thing about the new EEC countries that are coming in, Romania and Bulgaria. And basically what they were saying was that if you come into the country for work, they're basically going to put restrictions on people coming into the UK for work, except in industries like agriculture and general labour. Well, hey, they're the industries that these people go to anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't make any sense to me. Why make a legislation about something like that and miss out the main and most important factor?
It's like, oh, do you want to become a computer programmer? No, chambers made at hotel.
That's fine. It's just unreal. I just really don't get it.
At a 5-star hotel and you ask for extra towels?
Mm-hmm.
You wonder why you get, like, this blank deer in the headlights look at you.
Exactly.
Huh? Eh?
Crazy, isn't it? Right, last one of the week tonight. Hated meal of the week, Tim. Now, I know this is one that you're gonna probably contest, but vindaloo.
Vindaloo, no, I agree with you on this, actually.
Oh, good. I'm glad to hear it. Because most people only really ever eat a vindaloo, again, when they've had 14 pints of lager. Something to put it out, to put the fire out. Now, I like spicy food, and I'll eat things up to sort of Madras and whatever, but I cannot eat a vindaloo. It just takes the lining of my mouth off. And it seems to me that it's got to be somebody that's into sadomasochism.
Yeah.
Who else would eat a vindaloo?
Yeah, vindaloo, actually, is Swedish for dominatrix.
Yeah, I thought it was actually just the wrong pronunciation of going to the loo. You know, I am vindaloo.
Vindaloo, yes.
Because that's exactly where you end up after you've had one, with chilled bog rolls from the fridge.
Yeah, vindaloo. Oh, yeah. Yeah, there you go. They just take the V off and it's vindaloo.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah. This is it, you see. It's a pronunciation thing. After all, it is complete crap you're eating.
Yeah, yes.
Let's face it, they could put any sort of meat in there and you wouldn't know, would you?
No, of course not. Squirrel, cat, bat, whatever.
Exactly. Tim, it's been a pleasure as always, mate. Great show. Thanks for joining me. We're going to finish with a young lady who is an unsigned artist tonight called Mandy Riley.
Hey, fatso, put down the donut. Stop binging. Start whinging. It's Whinge of the Week with Ross Hemsworth.
Log on to Mystery Play Internet Radio for the live show, Mystery Play Live, every Saturday, 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. Central Time Zone.